Today, we're talking all about stress and anxiety and how you can use movement to help. Here we go. Hi, I'm Jessica Vallant, a physical therapist and Pilates teacher, and I'm here to bring science-based knowledge, understanding, empathy, courage, support, love, and hopefully some fun to the journeys we have with our bodies. There is hope and strength in your body, and my goal is to help you find it. I am so excited to talk with you today about a subject I am very passionate about. We are going to be talking about stress and anxiety and how you can use movement specifically to help with those two things. I personally have quite a bit of experience in this area going through stress and anxiety myself, as I'm sure you have as well. And so it's really great to give ourselves some tools to help in those areas. And I specifically want to cover movement and exercise and how we can use those two things to help with our stress and anxiety. First, we're going to talk about the difference between stress and anxiety and how we want to kind of define those and understand those two terms. I feel like they are often used interchangeably, but they really are slightly different. So traditionally, stress is understood to be the body's reaction to a threat, and that threat is also called the stressor. So we'll use those terms, threat and stressor. So it's actually the body's response to that threat, and traditionally and typically, it's considered a short-term response, meaning a stress happens, your body responds, you feel it in a short-term way until that threat goes away, and then your body releases it. Anxiety, on the other hand, is traditionally understood to be more of a psychological response, and it's longer, meaning it lingers, and there isn't always a clear cause or threat or stressor. So you can think of the differences as stress is more the body's response, it's short term, and it has a very clear cause. Anxiety, on the other hand, is more the psychological response, it lingers, and there isn't necessarily a clear cause that you can point to. So continuing to look through that traditional lens of what stress is and what anxiety is, let's really dive into that stress response to start with. And some of what we're going to talk about today can be found in a book called Burnout, The Secret to Unlocking the Stress Cycle. It's an amazing recent book by sisters, Dr. Emily Nagoski and Dr. Amelia Nagoski, and I highly recommend that you check that out, and I'll put some information about that in the description below, but we're going to use that a little bit as a framework of what we discuss here. So let's talk about stress first, and we're going to look at it in a very basic kind of primal way. So I want you to imagine being chased by a tiger, okay? There is a very clear threat to you, right? A very clear stressor is a tiger chasing you. What happens immediately? Think of your fight or flight response. So automatically, you are most likely going to go into flight. You are going to try to escape that stressor. So look and just think about what is going to happen in your body. So we're going to talk actually physiologically what happens when a stress like that occurs or a threat comes. Your body's job is to fly away and to run away from that stress. So everything happens in your body to help the muscles go into that running phase so you can escape the stress. So you get increased blood flow directly to your muscles, which means you get decreased blood flow everywhere else. Your digestive system shuts down because it's not important in this moment. The only thing that's important is to run as fast as you can. You get increased resting heart rate. You get an increased breathing rate. You get increased blood pressure. You have increased blood flow to your muscles, decreased blood flow everywhere else, and then hopefully you run away. So you can almost feel that, right? Sitting there, you can feel what that stress feels like. And that's traditionally what a stressor would be. And then what happens? You run away. You run away from that threat. And then what you hope happens is that you escape, you end up back in your home, back wherever you are safe, you can breathe, that heart rate comes back down, the threat is gone, and you move on. Traditionally, again, we kind of think of it that way. The piece of the Nagoski sisters' work that I want to touch on during this podcast is where they address the stress cycle and how to complete it, because I think this is fascinating and it has so much application to movement and simply to how we are living and why we are ending up in so much stress and anxiety and burnout and overwhelm right now. So they talk about the stress cycle. So I want you to first think about a stress and a stressor. So the stressor is the threat. That is what is happening that is causing you to have the stress response. So the stressor is the threat, and then the stress is the response that you're feeling in your body. So we kind of think, oh, remove the stressor and I'll remove the stress. Remove the lion and the stress will be gone. But the Nagoski sisters talk about the stress cycle and how it's actually the running itself that removes the stress from your body. That we are built and we need to actually complete the stress cycle in order to not feel the stress in our bodies anymore. So while it's important to identify the stressor, to try to kind of remove that from your life if at all possible, it isn't always possible. And we're going to talk about that, about how stress looks different now, the threats look different now, but it isn't always possible to necessarily remove the stressor from your life. And the good news is you don't always have to in order to remove the stress from your body. What you need to do is complete the stress cycle. And one of the major ways our bodies do that is by movement. So in our example, when you run away from the lion, it isn't the lion being gone necessarily that removes all the stress from your body. It's the running. You run, you end up back. The example they give is you end up back in your village, you celebrate, you're giving hugs, you're high-fiving, and that is what completes the stress cycle and allows you to move on without the stress in your body. They talk about other ways that you can actually complete the stress cycle as well. Moving your body is a big one. Affection is a big one. They talk about a 20-second hug with someone that you care about and feel safe with. So that's a big one as well. They give laughing as an example of a way to complete the stress cycle, and creative expression. So artwork, singing, journaling, writing, those kind of things. So it's a different way for us to really think about this idea of stress and how we can remove it from our bodies. And I find that it's almost a relief to know that I can take a little bit of power back in myself. I don't always have control over the stressor, which brings me to how stress looks in this day and age. We aren't chased by lions, hopefully, anymore as much. But what happens? We sit at our computers and get emails that stress us out. We have lived in the past 2 years in a global pandemic. We are taking care of our elderly parents. We are dealing with our kids and their activities. We're trying to patch up relationships with our neighbors and in our community and in our families. We are having to work with people that are difficult for us to work with. Those are the things that are causing us stress now. And the problem is there is no clear way to complete that stress cycle because we can't always run away from it, right? You can't always get rid of that coworker that rubs you the wrong way. You can't always remove a relationship that needs to be in your life. You instead need to find a way to not let it cause you stress. So where I do think it's important to identify stressors, it's important to try to remove those from your life if you can, absolutely, especially if it's toxic relationships or anything like that that's affecting your well-being. That is important, and I highly encourage you look at that. I highly encourage you seek out therapy if that's something that may help you in your situation. But for our purposes today, we're going to talk about the other side, what we can do for our stress and anxiety that doesn't always require us to remove the stressor itself. So in this day and age, where we find ourselves is in constant stress. We're in this constant state of stress. And just imagine what happened in your body in that fight or flight example when you were running from the lion. That is happening all the time right now, but it is not short term anymore. We are in it and we aren't finding a way to get out of it because we are not doing anything to complete that stress cycle. We are constantly opening up our emails. We are constantly worried about our kids. We are constantly getting messages from social media and the 24-hour news cycle. And so it sits in our bodies. That response I talked about, that increased blood pressure, that low digestion, it also ends up affecting our immune system. It can affect our hormones. It has detrimental effects on our long-term health for us to stay in a state of stress. And I would venture to say that almost all of you listening to this right now are experiencing this in some way, shape, or form. So we need some tools to help us complete that stress cycle so that we can move on with less stress response in our bodies. So I want to move on and talk about anxiety because while it is a different condition, I believe they are so closely related, especially now that we know and we've laid that groundwork that we tend to be in this constant state of stress. I believe that's leading actually to more anxiety because the longer we're in that state of stress, it's harder to look back and be able to point out a specific cause. So if we go back to our definition of stress, where it's one specific cause, short term, we release it. We're not in that paradigm anymore. We tend to sit longer in that stress cycle. We don't get out of it. And I find, at least for myself, it becomes harder to look back and say, well, that's what caused it. I almost don't know anymore. It's so hard to peel back the layers. I can't always say. So for me, I'm going to give a really personal example. I have always felt some stress in my body. I'm a type A personality. I tend to kind of feel that. I put high expectations. I'm a people pleaser. So that is a place that I've lived, but it's always been very manageable. And I'm kind of that person that almost would respond well and work well under a state of short-term stress, right? With deadlines. I do well. I'm organized. I want to write out a to-do list. I can help manage those kind of processes in a short-term way. Then March of 2020 came and I got into a state of high level stress that would not release. I had my very first and only panic attack. I remember waking up one morning. This was probably April, so we're just a couple weeks in. I woke up and I felt my heart rate. And I know enough, I can test it. I know what my resting heart rate is or should be. I tested it that morning. I measured it and it was unbelievably high, enough to scare me a little bit. I remember telling my husband, I'm like, I think something's wrong. I got in the shower thinking I'll calm this down. No big deal. I got out. It was still unbelievably high. I was having shortness of breath. I really was close to thinking, gosh, do I need to go to the doctor? And then it hit me. I was having a panic attack. Luckily, throughout the day, it calmed itself down, but it was the first little voice in my head saying, you're at a place of stress that may be something you need to look deeper into. But just like all of you, I instead had to somehow just keep, I imagine it the way I picture it was that I was in the ocean and I was just doggy paddling to keep my head above water and waves kept coming and crashing, but all I could do was keep my head above water at the same time that I was trying to hold my kids up above the water and my business and my husband and our mother-in-law who had Alzheimer's and was in a memory care facility. During that time, all I could do was try to survive. So I couldn't even deal with the stress I was feeling because I was just trying to survive and keep us all above water. And over time, we're talking 6, 12, even 18 months into that situation, I knew I needed to make some changes. I was not sleeping. I was starting to lose some hair. I was at a point of constant anxiety. I was so scared to open my emails. Like, the thought of opening my emails caused this plummeting in my stomach. Like, I couldn't even breathe because I was so nervous about opening emails to get some email that was somewhat mean or someone asking something of me or needing something of me. And that's how I knew there was going to be a problem, because one, that's my work. But two, that wasn't typical for me. When I really talked through it, I said, what is the cause of this? Like, what's the worst thing that could happen here? What, nothing that I'm going to open, an email isn't going to jump out from the screen and attack me. It's not going to hurt my family. And that's when I knew I had really moved into a state of anxiety, because it was lingering. It was long term, and I couldn't point out a specific stressor anymore. Like I said with that email example, there was nothing. It's not like I was waiting for a bad email to come. There was no stressor. I just had constant anxiety that I could not put my finger on. And so I want to point out that whereas they are two different responses in our bodies, they are two different things. We absolutely can be born. Anxiety is a psychological condition. So it is a mental health condition. It's something that we absolutely are born with. It has physiological changes in our brain and our body versus stress that comes from that specific stressor. I do believe that this long-term stress can lead to anxiety. So for me, I believe that I have always, when I look back in my life, I can say, oh, I think I've always been a little bit prone to anxiety. I was that person that was so scared to get test results back and those kind of things. I mean, like academic tests, I was always so scared, thinking I had to have done my best. So I know I am prone to that. But it never became a true issue for me until I experienced that 6-month long-term couldn't get out of stress, and it led more into anxiety, and it got to a pretty bad place for me where it felt like I couldn't get out of it. I felt like I was in a truly kind of hopeless place, and that's when I dove in and said, I need to do some things myself to change this. This isn't how I want to live. I am not doing my best for my clients, for my kids, for my family, for my husband, or for myself. So here is where the hope comes in. There are things we can do to help complete the stress cycle and get ourselves out of a place of constant stress and anxiety. And again, I really want to point out that I am talking about this more from a movement perspective. I am a physical therapist. I work with movement. I'm a Pilates teacher. So for me, that is the aspect I want to address. And also, if you are at a place you need to talk to someone, please seek out therapy. There's therapy. There are medications for anxiety. There are tools that you can use if you find you're at a place that you need more assistance. Please seek it out. There is nothing to be ashamed about. There is nothing to feel bad about. Do not be disappointed in yourself. There are tools that we can use, and that is what I encourage you to do, is to grab hold of whatever tools you can to get to a place of feeling more empowered and safe in your body, because that is what we keep coming back to in this podcast. That's my message for you. You deserve to feel safe in your body. You deserve to feel supported and encouraged and strong. So use whatever tools are out there at your disposal to do that. So I want to address the physical symptoms as well that you can feel, both from stress and anxiety, and many of these overlap, but just a few things that you might be feeling. So we know that both stress and anxiety can have faster heartbeat. So that's your faster resting heartbeat, an increased blood pressure, faster rate of breathing, so inhalation and exhalation. And when you breathe faster, the reason that's important is you end up with shorter breaths, okay? And that can affect many things, oxygen delivery to your muscles, as well as actually the movement in your thoracic spine and your ribs. So breathing is really important. and they can have effect on your digestion. So it can lead to either chronic diarrhea or chronic constipation. All of those things are really important long term. And then you can have the other manifestations that can look like trouble sleeping, moodiness, having a short fuse, meaning it just doesn't take as much for you to feel anger, a feeling of dread, lower immune function, and just a feeling of overwhelm. And that is what we come back to over and over, I think, when we just use those words because we don't know what else to say, right? I feel overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I feel like there's just too much. And so we start to feel all of those things physically. And so I really like to point out that it will affect us on many different levels to let ourselves stay in this place of stress and anxiety. And like I said earlier, we know from research that staying in a constant state of stress is not physically where we are meant to be, and it will have long-term health consequences if we stay there. And that was what really triggered me to find a way to get out of that stress cycle, because I was feeling the long-term health manifestations and I knew I needed to do something to help stop that. So let's start talking about movement, and I want to address it from the place of stress to start with. And we're going to go back to the Nagoski sisters and that idea of the stress cycle, because I think it's such a clear way to explain it and understand why we need to move in order to help our stress. So to review, you have a stressor that then causes stress in your body. So instead of, for our purposes right now, instead of thinking about only how do I remove the stress, how do I remove the stress? Because while, again, I think that's important, it isn't always realistic. We can't always remove that relationship that's causing us stress. We can't always stop the project at work that's causing us stress. Sometimes we need to find ways to live with that stressor, unfortunately. And so we instead can focus on our body's response to it. So let's say you are in the stress cycle. Your job is to find a way for your body to complete the cycle. And one of the best ways to do that is through movement. So remember, in our example of the lion chasing you, it wasn't always the removal of the lion that stopped the stress. It was the running action that completed the stress cycle. And if you're having a hard time imagining that, the example the Nagoski sisters give is that, let's say that you are in the act of running, like you are right in the midst of it, and a lightning strike comes down and strikes the lion, so the lion's dead. The stressor has been removed, but just put yourself in that situation and just imagine that you have just stopped running because you kind of saw the lightning. You're like, whoa, okay, the lion's gone. But the stress isn't immediately gone from your body, is it? You still feel that shakiness. You still feel that adrenaline. Like, you're still scared. Your heartbeat is going crazy. It takes something to complete that part of the stress cycle. And that really makes sense to me when I think about it, because the same thing with my kids, or let's say you're just in an argument, right, with somebody at work or even at home. Let's say you're in the midst of the argument and the person walks out. Okay, so the stressor has left. But I am betting you don't suddenly feel better, especially if that argument hasn't been completed. Let's say you're just in the middle of talking. I'm sure it's happened to all of us. You are in the middle of something and you just made a really good point and the person just walks away. That doesn't suddenly make you feel better, does it? You have to complete the stress cycle. And in addition to the physical health benefits, there are so many reasons to help us move through the stress cycle. So in that example, when someone walks away, we can't always fix that immediately. We can't make them come back. We can't make them complete the argument. But we need to be able to move on with our day. We need to be able to serve the other people around us and serve ourselves and complete our job. There are reasons we need to be able to move on. And so the beautiful thing about this idea of the stress cycle is you can then do something to complete that stress cycle, which is movement. And I love that, obviously, from where I come from as a movement educator, but I love it too because we have different options. So it doesn't mean you need to go upstairs, throw on your leggings and your tennis shoes, and go to the gym or get on your Pilates mat. That is a great option, But you don't have to do those things. You could put on loud music in your living room and dance like crazy for 20 minutes. You can sit down actually and do some breathing exercises. You can clean the house. It shows that just moving your body for a consistent 10 to 20 minutes can help you complete the stress cycle. So be creative when you think of ways to do that. One thing that I've always done, is I go for a walk in the middle of the day. And I didn't even know why I was doing it at the time, but looking back, I can say that's why. I think it helped me kind of release whatever stress I had felt during the day. So when I was working for another company, I would go for a walk at lunch. I was that person that even at workshops, I would bring my shoes and everyone else went out for a big lunch together. I brought my own lunch and I went for a walk with my headphones. And I still do that now. If I have a big morning of filming and interviews and podcasts in the morning, as soon as they're done, I get out and just move without much noise, without someone else. And it really helps bring my body down. So think of it as that. Try to be creative on ways that you can move. And then also understand that a consistent movement practice, consistent exercise practice, is going to help you regularly complete the stress cycle and keep that stress response at bay. So that means moving your body every day. 30 minutes, if you can, consistently every single day will help you regularly complete that stress cycle. All right, I want to move on and talk about anxiety and movement, because this is just fascinating and such important information that isn't out there. I think we kind of have an understanding a little bit about stress and how that feels in our body. And it makes sense, right, when we talk about the stress cycle and needing to work out and move our bodies. There is also a very clear connection with anxiety and movement. And it can be looked at in the same way. So if we go back to what we talked about earlier, whereas kind of that long-term stress response could lead you into anxiety as well, you can look at it that way and understand that a regular movement practice is going to help you in that area. It also goes a little deeper with anxiety. So there's amazing research out there that shows us that there is a connection with certain musculoskeletal issues and diagnoses. There's a connection with those and anxiety. So one specific one that I look at a lot is hypermobility. So hypermobility is an issue with the joints. It's too much motion in our joints. And there is a clear connection. Research shows us there's a clear connection with hypermobility. So those who experience hypermobility and those who have anxiety. And the same actually with endometriosis. Endometriosis has a clear connection with anxiety. And that's fascinating to me to know that our physical issues, whether it be a diagnosis or an injury or chronic pain, those kind of things, not only can lead to anxiety, but also can actually be correlated specifically with anxiety. So being able to address some of those conditions can in turn help anxiety. So for anxiety specifically, one of the best things you can do from a workout perspective is actually to lift weights. So think of it as you would a weighted blanket. So a weighted blanket is just that. It's a blanket that has some weight to it. And we know from research that weighted blankets can help in many different conditions, including anxiety and including autism and many different conditions such as that, neurological disorders. It can help calm the body. It actually helps regulate and calm the nervous system. And weights do the same thing to the joints, which can help hypermobility and can help actually with anxiety. So using weights as a part of your workout routine twice a week is a really good way to help in general with anxiety. And I've absolutely found that to be true for myself. And that doesn't mean going to the gym and throwing around heavy weights. It doesn't necessarily mean going to a workout class that's going to increase your stress because you're lifting such heavy weights. It means incorporating them in a very safe, comfortable way for you 2 times a week. And that leads me to say that not all workouts are created equal when it comes to stress and anxiety. We are all a little different in how we process movement, so it is important to find movement that causes you some joy, that you actually look forward to doing, that feels safe and encouraging in your body. I don't want you to go jump into a workout class that ever feels defeating or discouraged. I don't want you to come out with those feelings. It's not going to help. Also, think of what it's going to do to your cortisol levels. So workouts such as high-intensity interval training workouts, those HIIT workouts, they have been shown that they can actually increase our cortisol levels if done too much throughout the week. So if you're someone that's using really intense indoor cycling classes every day or certain small boutique classes such as that, those could be increasing your cortisol levels. So look at that as well. And again, this is individual to individual, but there are people I work with who do have that really high cortisol level that I find do really well with 2 days of weights during the week, and then maybe using breathing techniques to help regulate the nervous system. And then there are going to be people who are on the opposite end of the spectrum that find that they can really control those high intensity classes and they work really well to get rid of stress and kind of complete that stress cycle. So they'll use those 2 times a week and then fill in other times with either jogging or walking or Pilates. So you do want to find a program that works for you. I will say, this is just from a personal standpoint, what I have found really works for me is listening to my body and where I am. So, like I said, I always lift weights 2 or 3 times a week. It is a really good place for me. It helps with my joints. It helps with my anxiety. If I am at a place that I feel extra stress for any reason, if I have a big project coming up, if I have a decision that I haven't made about something really important, if I'm just in that chronic place of stress, that is not a time that I am personally going to go do high intensity interval training workouts. It doesn't work well for me. So I stick with my weights. I do long walks, and then I get on my mat and do quite a bit of Pilates. That is a really good system for me if I'm in a place of kind of a little bit of a higher stress level. If, on the other hand, I am in a place, and I found myself definitely there this summer, I got to a place that I finally dealt with my stress, kids were out of school, I didn't have a bunch of big projects due, I always take a little bit of a sabbatical in the summer, so my nervous system was pretty darn calm. Like, I was regulated, I was sleeping well, and that was the time that I took to really explore new, fun, creative workouts. Like, and I felt it in my body. I was so excited to try new things. I was trying some gymnastics kind of things and handstands, right, and all that kind of stuff, in addition to keeping my regular calming practice of weights a couple times a week and long walks. But I felt that I was really responding well to trying new things. Then the fall came, and I just felt it in my body. I'm like, gosh, I don't think I want to try those. They don't sound exciting to me anymore. They sound a little bit stressful, all of that crazy new stuff. So I'm going to come back to what I know. I'm going to come back to my Pilates 3 times a week. I'm going to come back to my weights 2 times a week, and I'm going to continue those long walks because those really always have and always will help regulate me, I believe. So that's what I mean by kind of starting to do a little trial and error to see what kind of workouts fit in to your life and your season right now, because it is important to look forward to movement instead of adding more stress to your life. Don't pick a workout that you have to drive 30 minutes in traffic to. You have to sign up ahead of time or you're going to lose your spot. You have to dish out a bunch of money ahead of time. If you are in a place of stress, that isn't the workout that I would choose, right? I would choose 30 minutes and something that you can do from home or easily at work on a break. Find something that fits into your lifestyle that's not going to add stress to it, and do that for 1, 2, 3, even 4 months. Find consistency with it, because that truly is the most important thing. Two words, most important things you'll ever hear me say about movement: patience and consistency. You have to be patient and you have to be consistent. We don't see results overnight, but That being said, the really cool thing about completing that stress cycle, you will feel better right away after movement if you are completing a stress cycle. That's what's so cool and awesome about movement. You can feel better right away. And then it's the consistency and the patience. That's what you need long term to really allow yourself the tools to help deal with that stress response and anxiety long term. And I'm going to put links below in the description as well to some home programs that you could start right away without any equipment needed if you need a simple way to start getting into some home movement. My hope from today is that you now have a few tools to help you on the road to feeling less stressed and less overwhelmed in your life and in your body. Remember, you are not alone. Remember to feel encouraged. Remember to move your body. And remember that you deserve to feel your best. I will talk to you next time. As always, thank you so much for stopping by today. If you have a moment, please rate and review this podcast as it helps us out tremendously. For more workouts and resources, you can come over to my website, my YouTube channel, or join my unlimited community. Links for those are below.